Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Stamps.com. Get yourself a four-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in GHOST, Stamps.com, and enter code GHOST.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and on today's episode, a listener discovers that something is telling her she is in the wrong room. When Grandpa comes back, is it just him? Something wants to play with the listener, but what is it? And someone is watching over a family while the father is on duty. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I was doing some YouTube videos earlier today. Not doing them. I was watching them.
Okay.
On the idea on how to build walls.
Okay.
Like, just trying to learn how to do that project. Uh-huh. You know, we usually have somebody do it for us. And I'm still kind of in that vein of, I think somebody else should probably tackle that. And I think I'm close to getting there of figuring out how to get that. It doesn't look that complicated.
I really don't think it is. I think the worst part with our walls is doing the sheetrock and having to get that super sanded and smooth. And
that's like an art.
That is an art, very much.
That's like people who do that on a regular basis. They know the ins and outs. Because there's always things like that where it's like, well, you got to learn the tricks of the trade.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, if you can't, I mean, anyone, I think in theory, it looks like it's easy. And in theory, you could do it, but to do it well and to do it right, it takes the experience,
yeah,
I think. But I don't know. I'd like to be able to do some of those things someday. I like working on projects and things of that nature, but there's the bigger stuff. Not quite there yet.
We'll get there.
It's boring as hell watching a video about how to line out beams on a...
Studs,
yeah. See, I can't even use the right terms. So that's how far off I am. That's been my day watching some of that stuff. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can even email me your audio file if you want to record it on the sound recording device on your phone. You can send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y. At realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways of getting those stories to us. If you've not done so yet, our other podcast is alive right now. Dream Meanings, that has been posted onto its own channel over on iTunes and Stitcher, and it's slowly getting to everything else. So Dream Meanings, if you want even more stuff about what goes through our minds, what we experience. That's kind of what that one's all about. So
yeah.
Check it out. Their Dream Meanings, or the website if you want to check out that one and actually submit your dream or your dream or your call. You can call it your dream as well, just like you can on this show with your ghost stories. Is a dreamingradio.com, dreamingradio.com. So check that out. Our first letter today. It comes into us from Katie and says, a few years back, my roommate at the time and I would occasionally drive around the eastern half of the country selling T-shirts for a country singer. No one you'd know yet. This included the singer's management reserving a prepaid room for us. Nice deal, we thought. Now, this particular trip, we drove from Wisconsin to Alabama overnight, driving straight through thunder, lightning, tornadoes, etc. Needless to say, when we arrived at our hotel at 4 a.m., we were exhausted. Singer's manager had reserved some rooms there for us, so we checked in and went right to sleep. The room was on the first floor with an entrance direct from the parking lot. My roommate crashed out on one of the two double beds, and I took the other one, thinking I'd fall right asleep. However, I was apparently just too tired, and instead, I laid there half awake, waiting for sleep to come. The light from the parking lot illuminated the room somewhat, so it was easy for us to distinguish the furniture, the beds, etc., in the half light. However, as I laid there, I noticed a large shadow enter the room from the doorway without opening the door. The shadow was completely black and shaped rather like a blob. moved slowly across the room in front of our beds, then entered the space between the bed that I had occupied and the wall. At first, I thought I was just hallucinating. After all, I was very tired, but what happened next was anything but a hallucination. Without going into too much detail, this shadow tried to climb into bed and have its way with me. It was very real, very solid and heavy. Its surface felt like old binder twine and burlap wrapped around a log as it rolled on top of me. However, I was tired and very crabby after the long drive. All I wanted was rest, and here was this darn haint trying to get past first base with me. Instead of screaming and running like any sane human might, I got mad and tried to push it off me. Probably 20 to 25 seconds. This thing and I had a test of strength until finally it seemed to give up and slide off me. The shadow moved away, backed across the room, and exited the way it came. Believe it or not, I finally fell asleep after it left. The next morning, I asked my roommate if she had seen or heard of anything. Of course, she said she hadn't, but that she had fallen asleep right away. Normally, I'd attribute this to an extremely realistic, lucid dream and nothing more. But the next night at the show, I was chatting with one of the locals just to see what she would answer. I asked if anyone had ever noticed anything different about that motel. She responded that yes, there were reports of odd happenings going on around there, but she didn't know any more than that. So was it real or a dream? I've had lucid dreams that you wouldn't believe, but I knew they were dreams. This thing felt absolutely real. To top it off, we found out the next morning that we did not have a reservation at that hotel that night, even though we were allowed to check in without a problem, nor did we have to pay for the room. So who reserved and paid for it?
That is almost like something paranormal controlled the whole situation.
That's creepy and bizarre. I mean, that's almost like, well, what the hell is going on here? Why is Norman allowing you to check into the hotel? You know, yeah. Without like, oh, yeah, sure, there's a reservation for you. Sure, you can stay, you know.
Right.
I wonder if there's like a mixture of creepy human being and something paranormal going on here.
I don't know.
Was the room next to the office?
And did you
check behind the pictures to make sure there wasn't a hole in the wall?
That's just terrible.
That's disturbing. I guess, you know, and it's interesting, too, where she asked around and like, oh, yeah, I've heard of happenings there, but didn't know anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think things like that, it's not exactly like you're going to be like, oh, I have a great day. Yeah, I had this this cranberry chicken salad earlier. It was wonderful. Great. What's up with that hotel? Oh, there's ghosts that try to rape women there. It's not exactly just something you throw into the conversation, especially if it's like someone you don't really know. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, yeah, it's kind of, there's stuff that happens, but I don't know anything else.
Right.
I think there's probably more to be known.
Oh, yeah. I think you're just getting just the very conservative answer there.
Yeah, I kind of get that from that. Thanks for writing in and sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our number. Scarlett writes in, hi guys, just discovered your podcast via Spotify on Halloween and I'm already hooked. Since then, I've listened to it all day at work. It's actually helped my anxiety, believe it or not. Years ago, before my husband and I were married, we were house-sitting for his grandmother while she and his family were out of town. Shortly before this, his grandfather passed away in his sleep. Ever since Grandpa Gary passed away, it was like he was still there in the house. You know how you can sense a friend or loved one in the room? How you can pick up on, I don't know, their energy? It was the same with Grandpa. I could still feel him. I didn't tell my future in-laws about it, especially since Grandpa was still mourning their beloved, but I did tell my husband. He wrote it off as me just reading too much into things. However, when we stayed in the house alone, that's when my suspicions were confirmed. Constantly felt like I was being watched. It was always felt like Grandpa Gary was there. The energy was palpable, practically smothered me. Despite that, I never felt unsafe. The presence, while a bit alarming, felt welcoming. Our stay at my husband's grandmother's intensified on our last night there. We were in the bathroom. My husband was showering. I was brushing my hair when I heard male voices. It was muffled, and I couldn't gather what they were saying, but there was clearly two. Then they started laughing. It's coming from the air ducts, from the hall. We were surrounded by the voices and the laughter. On the verge of tears, I begged my husband to get out of the shower. There's someone in the house. Well, he didn't hear a thing. He could tell by how panicked I was that regardless of whether he heard it, there was something out there. Without turning off the water, he stepped out of the shower and grabbed the top of the toilet tank. On the count of three, I quickly opened the door, and he brandished his makeshift weapon, but, of course, the hallway was empty. The entire house was empty, save for a scared girl and her naked wet boyfriend. We turned on all the lights, got ready for bed, and held each other as we discussed the possibilities. We quickly came to the conclusion that one of the voices was definitely Grandpa Gary, but the other, not sure. With some thinking, my husband realized it must be his uncle. His uncle Bob died when my husband was a child. Uncle Bob was taken off life support after being struck by someone asleep at the wheel. While his uncle didn't pass away at the home like Grandpa, he had grown up there. Maybe he returned to be with his father? Regardless, we slept awful that night, and we never spoke to his family about what transpired. Since then, the presence is gone. I don't feel Grandpa when we come over anymore. I'm not religious, but perhaps Uncle Bob helped Grandpa Gary to move on. Love your take on it. Thank you so much for reading my story. I do have a few others if you'd like some more. Sincerely, Scarlett.
You know, I'm actually guessing that maybe that is what it is this time, mm-hmm. since they recognized one of the voices, and the other voice, maybe it was too long ago for anybody to remember what that voice sounded like. So I don't feel like there was something pretending to be a loved one on this one.
I agree. I mean, especially where it's just, they're saying it went back, doesn't feel like it's there anymore. And not that we had a history of any of this happening beforehand either. It's just, it was there. It was fairly obvious. Mm-hmm. Gone. So
right.
I think it is a pretty cut and dry ghost story there. It makes me wonder, like, when you have the loved one that comes back, and you hear this quite often, when you die, if you're then assigned a living person that you're going to help get over when their time comes.
Maybe.
Or do you get to choose? Like, okay, here's who's not dead yet, and here's who hasn't been picked. It's like gym class.
I don't know. I just always imagined it's kind of like, you know, when you're waiting at the airport for your people to get off the plane, mm-hmm. and there's all these people coming in, and finally you see the one, and then you help them go get their baggage and everything.
Sure.
I almost kind of feel like maybe it's more like that.
But how does that it's like an arrangement, though, mm-hmm. of who's picking who up. That's what I'm wondering is how does that arrangement happen?
I don't know.
That's my point. It's like yes, I agree on the concept of exactly what you just said, but how does who chooses this?
I don't know.
That's where I'm coming. It's an odd one. Can you put that in your will? Like, and when I die, so-and-so must
pick me up at the airport in the sky.
On the airport of death. Exactly. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. So I've been very impressed with stamps.com and really how they've kind of automated just postage and getting our bunk bed bells out. I've decided earlier today to automate the other part of the process, and that's the labeling process.
Finally.
I've been using a magic marker, a Sharpie. Literally. I'm not even kidding.
Did you not learn how to mail merge in high school?
Mail merge?
Yeah.
What the hell's that?
You take a spreadsheet, an Excel spreadsheet, and you can make labels.
I don't even do it that way. That's like an extra step I don't even need to take.
Okay.
Because I have to copy and paste addresses off of emails. Oh. So it's not like it's in a spreadsheet.
Okay.
So I know what you're talking about. And yes, I did learn how to do that. But no, I ordered labels, and I'm now creating the labels right now. So when the labels show up in a day, I'll be done. And I can print, slap the label on, slap the stamps.com postage on there, and off we go.
Good.
So it's no more Sharpie. Did I spell that city right?
And you have doctor's handwriting anyway.
I try to be neat, but I've just been, I mean, stamps.com is really what brought all that on. And you too can enjoy the joys of stamps.com. I know it sounds kind of, you know, the joys, but it really is. It saves you so much time mm-hmm. going to the post office, waiting, weighing. It's efficient. If you're doing any sort of mailing of anything, whether it be large packages, whether it be simple letters, what have you, stamps.com, totally makes sense. Convenient, easy, reliable, flexible, any letter, any package, any class of mail, using your own computer and printer. They will send you a digital scale. Automatically calculates exact postage, so you're not paying over, you're not paying under, and they're getting it sent back. It calculates it exactly. Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. And no need to lease an expensive postage meter. Just click print, and you are done. So because we use it all the time, you too can now enjoy Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without any sort of long-term commitments. Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in ghost. Stamps.com, enter ghost. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. There you go. 855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter today, it comes into us from Amber. And Amber writes in, hello, my name's Amber, 25 years old. I live in Two Rivers, Wisconsin. I want to start by saying I just started listening to your podcast a few days ago. Love listening to real-life paranormal stories. Did a Google search at work one day. Now, the rest is history. You guys do a great job. I love what I hear every episode. Eventually try to get through them all, but right now I make sure I listen to the most recent one, then randomly flip through other episodes. Anyway, enough rambling and on to my story. I do have one more, or more than one, so once I hear this one, I'll make it to your show. I'll definitely write in some more. This story takes place in Manitowoc, Wisconsin, at a cemetery on the north side of town. We were just in Manitowoc.
We were.
Not that long ago. On the SS Badger. I'm trying to picture the... I'm horrible in the town as far as where things are. There was the kind of abandoned mall that was creepy as hell. I love that. I think it's torn down now, though.
I'm sure on the way to Door County next time, we'll go through and be on the north side of town.
Like, ooh, there's the cemetery.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was 18 years old at the time. So the few of my friends one night were all very bored and couldn't think of anything to do. One of the girls mentioned that she just got a Ouija board and said she wanted to try it out. At the time, I knew nothing about this kind of stuff and didn't realize what kind of things could actually come through the board. So we all agreed to play with it and see if it worked. And we stupidly decided that the cemetery was the best place to do this in the middle of the night. Cemetery is very big, lots of land and burial plots. City isn't very big, and we knew that there was no security worker there at night. It was dark and cold, lots of bushes, flowers, trees surrounding the spot that we chose to sit and use the board. Put our fingers lightly on the planchette, the moving piece of the board. One of my friends said, "Is there anyone here who wants to talk to us?" We waited a few seconds, and the piece slowly slid to a part of the board that said, "Yes." At this point, I figured it was one of my friends moving the piece because I definitely was not, so thought it was funny. I played along and asked it, "What's your name?" The board spelled out, "Sally." Then I said, "What do you want, Sally?" And the board spelled out, "Play." At that very moment, from the bushes or behind me, a child's play ball bounced out and hit me in the back. I'll tell you, I've never heard anyone scream as loud as I did that night. I've also never seen anyone run faster than I did out of the cemetery. Looking back on the situation now, I sort of feel bad. If the spirit of Sally just wanted to play with her ball, maybe she wasn't a malevolent spirit. Maybe she just wanted a friend. Regardless, I never went back to the cemetery to talk to Sally again, but I've always been curious if there is, in fact, a little girl named Sally who was laid to rest there. One more thing before I go, I want to get your opinion and maybe opinion from your listeners. Ever since I was around 8 years old, I randomly get a high-pitched ringing in my ears. Not so much that I can't hear anything else, but enough for me to notice when it happens. My grandmother always thought that it was me sensing a spirit and coming into the room. You ever heard of anything like this happening? I also heard you mention on your show that it's possible for people who are mediums but cannot tap into their ability completely sometimes get migraines. And oddly enough, I suffer from severe migraines so much I had to go to the doctor to be medicated for these migraines. Anyway, again, great job on your show. You're both super awesome, and we'll write in again soon.
You know, the ringing thing in your ears, I get that, but I always attributed that, it's hard for me to say, to pressure changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sometimes people say they feel a pressure change when something does come into a space, so maybe that is tied together.
I get that, and I've always attributed it to Satan slowly taking over my body.
Sure. Yeah, that would be your natural go-to on that.
It was just like, oh, here he is. No. But no, I've gotten that too.
Yeah.
But I think it's normal. I don't know. I mean, it has a lot to do with pressure changes. So I can see the correlation you're making there.
Right. So maybe sometimes that is what, you know, the grandmother said it was, but maybe sometimes it's not.
It's most questionable when you're not moving or going in, or, you know, obvious like large hill mountains or something like that.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah. Although the air pressure does change mm-hmm. around us. So that could also be a contributing factor as well. But nonetheless, I'd be creeped out if a children's ball came flying at me in a cemetery. I also wouldn't necessarily be thinking it's all that friendly. It may be appearing to be.
I would still want to go back during the day and find out if there's a Sally that's buried there.
Yeah.
Not to say that that's actually what contacted during the Ouija board session. But, sure. You know, that'd just be so interesting to find that out.
To have just a little, closure, or just, what am I looking for here?
Closure, I think.
Closure definition on it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be interesting. We should go and take a little trip to the cemetery.
Sure. We'll do that.
Bring a Ouija board?
No.
A little ball?
No.
Like kickball? See what happens? Hey, who kicked the ball? Like, it just goes and...
That would be fun, though, to just leave a children's ball in that cemetery as we go.
We're going to find something somewhere someday where it's like somebody who's, like, been randomly playing tricks on teenagers at the cemetery next to their home for the last, like, several years. And it's like, hey, that was my ball, you know, at some point. Like, just so you know, it's not real. But no, I can't. I would be running fast too. Chris writes in, hi, my name's Chris. I'm from West Michigan. I found your podcast a week or so ago and I'm loving it. I've been on my paranormal kick lately, so it's perfect. I love hearing real people's real stories. I have a couple to share that might have just been weird coincidences, but it certainly felt like more than that at the time. Both happened when I was probably between 10 and 12 years old while living in my parents' home. My brother and I shared a room in the basement with a wall spanning half the width of the room to act as a divider. Our room was off a bigger room that we used for computers. The door between it didn't have a doorknob on it and never quite closed all the way. There was one night that I thought my older brother was still up and that I had gone to bed before him. Both rooms were completely dark and I hadn't yet fallen asleep. Suddenly, one of the computers in the other room turned on, letting an eerie light come through the door. It startled me, but wasn't as frightening as what happened next. I looked over, and I saw the door swing open a bit further. I could see the shadow of what looked like a man's head and shoulders on the wall. I assumed it was my brother, and so I thought it was him coming to bed. I don't remember looking away, but I remember the next time I looked, the shadow was gone. Terrified and confused, I ran into the other room, saw no one, turned the computer off, and ran as fast as I could back to bed. My brother had been in his bed the whole time. I didn't sleep anymore that night. Around that same time in my life, the same brother had a dream that we had a family gathering at my parents' house, and he said that one of my great aunts was more pale than normal and almost transparent. He also noted that she'd walk through walls. A week later, that same aunt died. My parents invited anyone of the family who wanted to come over to the house after the funeral. As far as I know, my brother hasn't had any similar experiences, but I've never asked him about it. Thanks for reading, and thanks for all the work you do to make the show possible.
I think the brother might be able to have premonitions.
How so?
Having the dream about the great aunt that could walk through walls and was kind of transparent, maybe knowing that she was going to die.
That'd be very confusing. What was that noise?
I don't know. That was weird.
I'm adjusting my my wristband here. It sounded like a fart.
It was not.
What was that?
That was weird.
Was it a ghost fart? Did we just have a real EVP fart?
Sure.
It wasn't me. I swear to God. All I can think was it because this wristband on this watch here is rubber.
But it was far enough away from the mic. That was weird.
Strange. I think we just had an EVP.
No.
Could we have?
I don't think so.
Pick something up?
A farting ghost.
We got a farting ghost.
No.
Congratulations. We got one.
I don't think so.
We got one! I have no idea what the hell that was.
That was weird.
All right. Anyway.
Whatever I was saying is gone.
The premonitions.
Yeah. Well, you know, and then the aunt died, you know, shortly after. So maybe that's how he sees people are going to die.
I could see that. It'd be very confusing if you dream quite a lot and then determining what is a premonition and what is just a dream.
And that just takes time.
Yeah. There's probably a level of realness or something that I think you could be able to define, but it would certainly take time to
realness.
Understand. Realness.
Reality.
A level of reality that the dream portrays.
Realness.
It's funner. Funner and realness. Here you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. All right, on to our next story. Hopefully there's no more ghost farts. Were you moving at all?
I didn't do anything.
I'm just trying to, I know, but I'm just wondering, like, if, like, the microphone, I'm just kind of weirded out by that.
We would have made that noise before. As many times as we sat in these chairs doing this.
I know. And it's not like I was even shifting where it could have been, you know.
God.
I don't know.
And the weird part is I only heard it in the headphones. I didn't, like, hear it in the room. You know, like, sometimes when we set stuff down, yeah, you can hear it both.
Let me look at my web browsers and everything. And I mean, because, you know, sometimes you have, like, a window open and it like, I got an email one, which doesn't make any noise. I have the one that talks about stamps.com. It's Gmail. I got nothing open here. That's the other browser's not open. And I know, like, I don't, my notification sound on email is not a fart. It's like, you've got mail. I don't know.
I don't know what that was.
That was the only one thing I could think of is, like, is there something open on the computer that's, but I don't know. Maybe, I know Windows did an update. Maybe they've changed some of their system sounds and now it resembles flatulence. This new Windows 10.8 or something. Let's go to our next story. Sarah writes, and hi guys, my name's Sarah, 28 years old. I live in Europe, and I found your show on my phone and on the podcast app. And I just love it. I listen to it all the time to catch up. I'll very soon become an EPP. I have some stories to share, and if you like them, it'd be awesome to hear them on the show. So here it goes. I'll share two stories today. The first one happened when I was 4 or 5 years old, and we lived in our previous house. I lived there till I was 20. I say I hated living there. All the things that happened to me growing up scared me, which all the things I saw, the bad dreams I had from then on are just too much for me at times. I'll share them with you if you want. I must say this too. My mom told me when I was younger, after all that happened, that the females in our families are really sensitive. And now on to the first story. Our balcony was very low, and usually I would sneak down and went to play with my friends. I was playing and then decided to go home, and I looked at our balcony, and I saw an old lady with a beautiful dog. She was calling me, had something in her hands. Went under the balcony, and she leaned down, and she had some candy. Said, here you go. That's all I remember. I don't remember eating the candy or even seeing the lady go away. It's like after that, some memories after that moment are gone. I thought maybe it was a neighbor that my parents knew and never said anything till a couple of years ago. I asked my mother, who was that lady? I described to her and I said, what happened? My mom just looked at me and said, how did you see her? That lady died years before I was even born. And she was a neighbor that my mom knew. The both of us were just shocked. My mom said, it's all okay, don't worry. Second story happened in my room. I was about 7 to 8 years old. I had to go to sleep because the next day I had to go to school. In bed, and from when I was younger, I had a lot of problems falling asleep. I still do. So I was lying in bed, still awake, when all of a sudden I heard, like, something snarling loudly from the closet in front of me. I opened my eyes because I didn't know what it was, and then the snarling became louder and louder till I just started screaming and calling my mom. She and my sister ran away in the room, and the snarling just stopped. I was shaking and almost crying. They tried to calm me down. I just started saying, please look in the closet. There's something inside. My mom said, what are you talking about? And I said that I heard loud snarling from it. She opened the closet and my heart just stopped. There was nothing, just my clothes inside. Then what was it? To this day, I don't know what it was. So these are my two stories. I hope they're interesting enough. Till the next time, stay cool and amazing as always. Bye, Sarah.
I think that seeing the old lady was just part of, you know, children being sensitive and can do that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason there's all these stories about monsters in the closet. Something likes to hide in the closet.
Mm-hmm. Something preying on fears.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for sharing that with us. I have an idea.
Oh, God. Are you still on the fart?
I am.
Okay.
There's an app on the the thing over here, and I don't want to say its name because it will activate itself if I do. It's the Amazon device that plays music. And it sometimes will misunderstand what you're saying out loud and think you're speaking to it. And I believe if you say, Alexa, fart. Or something of that name. There's like an app.
She said she's never broken wind.
But the thing is, it usually beeps though too, and it just beeped, and we would have picked up on that.
It wasn't Alexa farting.
Because there's an, I know the kids have played with it on the one upstairs where they've said, whatever, I don't know what the command
is.
Right,
but she says, now playing farts.
That's true. We didn't get that beforehand. No. It just started doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And judging by how far away that is, I don't think it picked up on the mic very well. It sounded, yeah.
It's like something with the mic.
Maybe the mic is.
I don't know.
Gas. It's just weird.
Let's not spend half the show figuring out where the fart came from.
I don't smell anything.
No.
There's no pets in here right now. Dog farts sometimes.
Jeez.
John writes in, when I was a teenager, 16 to be exact, it was New Year's Eve in West Central Florida. Around 9 p.m., I met up with a few of my buddies, Ray, Dan, and Chris. Chris's family owned a small farm. We went to his place for the New Year's festivities. Now, the house on this farm looked to be around a 1960s model house with a cow skull on the eave of the house. We went around the back where Chris's family had a bonfire going, loud music playing. Everyone was having a good time. We had some burgers, talked with Chris's family about the upcoming fireworks. After we ate, being the mysterious teens we were, decided to slip off into one of the two barns in the property to smoke a joint. Ha ha. I should add this was 14 years ago. Anyways, we walked into the barn. It was pitch black. Chris and I, don't move around. You get hurt. Let me get the lights. As soon as the lights came on, a huge rat scurried in front of Ray, Dan, and my feet. After the rat scare, we started smoking and talking about how creepy this old barn is. Chris told us how weird things happen around the property, with a couple of examples of seemingly misplaced items in footsteps where nobody was. And at this point, it was getting close to 12 o'clock. We all went back to the bonfire, shrugging off the creepy mood. The adults had the fireworks all set and ready to go. We spent the next 15 to 20 minutes getting picked on by Chris's family members about getting high. Comments like, "Hi, Cheech and Chong," as they are turning into lizards. It was funny, so we all counted down. The good count shot off by a bunch of fireworks, and when us four guys decided to go inside Chris's house to get some cans of soda. We sat in Chris's living room talking to each other about random stuff when Chris said, "Did I ever tell you guys my house is haunted?" Ray and Dan were like, "BS." I said, "How haunted?" Being that I experienced a separate phenomena years earlier, Chris said lights will flicker sometimes. You'll hear cabinets open late at night and water faucets sound like they're on when they aren't. And I took the last sip from my soda can and sat at the coffee table where we were sitting around it and began to explain my earlier experience. When Ray grabbed my left shoulder firmly with his other hand, pointing at my can. My can was moving at a snail's speed across the table. Ray and Dan were silent. Chris said, "Look, I told y'all." I said, "Okay. If you're a ghost, move the can towards Chris." He was sitting across from me at the coffee table. The can slowly lurched towards Chris. All three of them went silent. Me, needing more to be double sure that I was dealing with the supernatural before I could start any other worldly conversation, I said, "If you are here with us, move the can towards Ray." And on the word Ray, the can moved snail speed and got half towards Ray. Ray got freaked out, crushed the can, and said, "Shit, on this, I'm going home." I was so pissed that Ray broke my link to the supernatural. I didn't have much to say to him. We went, told a few adults that we were still at the party, what happened. They laughed and said, "You boys need to lay off the wacky tobacco." I've never smoked any tobacco wacky enough to do that. That was the only experience I had at that farm. Maybe because normally we all had to be home before the streetlights came on. Thank you for reading my story.
I think, you know, at first I thought, oh, maybe the can just slides because the table's not level or something, but for it to change direction and go towards the person you said, hey, make it go towards that person, that's different.
that added a whole other element to it. I mean, if you have an empty can on a glass coffee table, the moisture itself, the condensation on the can make it slide around by itself. I've had that happen. It's not anything ghostly. It's just that. But the fact that it was kind of moving on demand, like a planchette almost.
Right.
I almost wonder if there was a mixture of it just being natural occurrences and what was there, mm-hmm. what the ghost had to work with. And it was a very easily manipulated object because of the moisture and the condensation that was there.
Could be.
So there you go. If you want ghosts to interact with you, make it easy for them. Essentially, it's like a Ouija board. You know, you're not going to say to the ghost, "Okay, go paint some letters on my wall. Here's a can of paint and a brush."
Yeah.
But if you have the board and the planchette, and some energy right there, it makes it much easier for it to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So same sort of thing with a soda. They should have done a Ouija board, like wrote one on the table and then use a soda can.
I don't think they were up to that.
Probably not. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hey, Tony and Jenny, love the show. Love what you guys do. Keeps me company on my long drives to and from work. I'm going to start my story with a bit of background. I've always been sensitive and come from a long line of European gypsies. They're fortune tellers, card readers, use Ouija boards, all sensitive. All my European relatives have an abundance of experiences, so it's safe to say being sensitive is in my blood. I have so many experiences to share, and I'll share more later. I thought I'd share one of my earliest, scarier stories. I was around 8 or so and was up watching television. My family were in the other living room. I could hear this heavy, loud breathing. My first thought was from the television. I turned the TV off and could still hear it so loudly. Big, deep breaths in and out. Secondly, I thought it might just be me. I held my breath. It was still so loud and coming from behind me. All the hairs on my neck stood on end, and the intensity of the room was so dense. I slowly turned around and looked towards the open window. Now it was nighttime and dark outside. In the open window stood this black, darker than dark shadow. The silhouette stood out in the darkness, and that's where the breathing was coming from. I froze initially, and it took all my strength, but in my head I thought, run. So I get up, ran to the other living room with my family, terrified. A few days after this incident, I was in the other living room, playing with some toys, again, at night this time. Same feeling of intensity filled the room. You could cut the tension with a knife, and all my hair stood up again. That's when I looked up towards the front window and saw a man looking in the window, watching me play with my toys. I can still remember exactly what he looked like. Again, being dark outside, I don't understand how I could have seen his face so clearly at the window. I could literally sit down with a sketch artist and recreate him. Again, in a panic, I up and ran to where my family was. I'm not sure who this being was who was lurking around outside, but he made himself known to me. Like I said, I have plenty more stories. I'll be happy to share more later. Also, being sensitive, I know that it's what it's like to have other beings invade your space and come to visit you. My theory is once you open the door to the other side, they know you can see them and you become like a light for them to flock towards the darkness. I'm not sure if this will work with anyone else, but I've learned to close that door. Whenever I feel the intensity of something else being around, in my mind's eye, I imagine myself standing in the room and I start to build walls, like a fortress with locks and thick concrete walls. Kind of a way to build yourself into a safe room. I found that works for me. Hopefully it helps with some other sensitives if you're being bothered by spirits. Sorry if this story is too long. Take care, guys. Love what you do. Hopefully I get to hear my story on a future episode. Cheers, Jay from Australia.
You know, I don't know if the guy in the window was just a creepy person or if it was a ghost, but either way, very creepy story and imagery.
Yeah, that would be an experience. I think you'd still be telling us a ghost story regardless of who it was. It's like at the end there where he's talking to about closing the door or opening the door. It's like bronchitis. Once you get it, you keep getting it. Mm-hmm. I want to find a way to close that door.
The bronchitis door?
Yeah.
Sorry.
So yeah, because I never got it for the longest time in my life. I think it was like about 30 the first time I got it. Mm-hmm. Although I didn't get it this last year.
Knock on
lots of wood. But that's normally like a spring thing, and we're kind of well past that. But maybe I did shut the door on that. I mentally willed bronchitis away.
Okay.
I don't think
you surrounded your lungs in bright light.
I don't think that works.
No.
Be nice, though, if it did.
Mm-hmm.
855-853-4802, our number, and Real Ghost Stories Online. Sandy writes in, just listen to your EPP episode 100 and the story of the military wife having a ghost in her house. Sounds a lot like the experience I had several years ago. My husband was in the Air Force and we were stationed at Fort Bragg in Fayetteville, North Carolina. After a year of living on the economy, we got a house on base. Nothing seemed odd about the house and I have some sensitivity to the paranormal, but I didn't feel anything there. Maybe I was just too busy raising our 2 small children, 4 and 8, so I just didn't pick up on anything. My husband had gone on a trip somewhere for the Air Force, as was the case. Each setting is my sister-in-law, her husband, and my mother-in-law, who have lived very close to us, were staying with us because they were getting ready to move to California. My mother-in-law and I were sitting in the living room. My sister-in-law and her husband were in the back bedroom, and my kids were in the other bedroom watching a movie. From where I sat, I could see my hallway. I saw a dark figure move through the hallway towards the doorway of the kitchen. My mind automatically went to it must be the dog. My dog is a Chihuahua size, and the figure was up where the pictures were on the wall. So I called out to my sister-in-law and asked if anybody had gone into the kitchen. She said no. I could still hear the kids in the back bedroom, so I brushed it off as light from the TV causing a shadow to look like it was moving. The next time it happened, my husband was away again, and my daughter and I were in the back bedroom watching TV, and my son, about 8 years old at the time, was in the living room watching TV. I heard him say in a normal voice, "Mom," like I was in the next room or close by, but I didn't answer because I thought he was messing with me. And then he screamed, "Mom," and I came running out, and he was clearly shaken. I asked him what had happened, and all he said was a man, all dressed in black, had walked through the kitchen. You can also see into the kitchen from the sofa, and it appeared to take the same path as the shadow I saw. I took him into the back bedroom, called the MPs, and had them check the doors and around the house to make sure no one had tried to get in, but everything was locked up tight. Called a priest several days later to see if he knew of anybody dying in the house or any history of the house, but he had no information for me other than telling me, as long as it's not hurting me or touching anything, that I shouldn't worry about it. So I pretty much put it out of my mind, like telling friends who then started making fun of me, but I didn't care. People don't understand that kind of stuff until it happens to them. The last time it happened, my daughter, who was 4 or 5 at the time, was playing on a computer right outside the kitchen door and turned to me and asked, "Who was that man all dressed in black that just walked through the kitchen?" I just said it must be somebody watching over us when Papa is gone, and left it at that. Over the time we lived there, I tried to debunk what we saw because we had a carport with poles and a street that when cars turned left or right, it would shine on those poles, casting shadows into the kitchen. I thought maybe that was what we were seeing, but the shadows could not have made down the hallway when my daughter saw the lights were on in the kitchen. Never figured it out, but it never hurt us, so it just became a great story to tell and an interesting part of my life. I have other stories that are shorter. I'll send them in, but this was by far my favorite. Love your show. Hope to hear this on one of your podcasts. Thanks for keeping me entertained.
Maybe it's a residual shadow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just going about its business, and it's scary as all get out, but it's not going to do anything.
Comes and goes, but that's about it.
Yeah.
We hear a lot of those sort of things, especially on places, too, like army bases, where you have a lot of people who are kind of coming and going out of the homes.
Sure.
You know, it's not a lot of times where that's a super, super long term, you know, place to live. So you have a lot of people who have lived in the house previously. Mm-hmm. Lots of emotions that you're going through when you're on base there. So those tend to be, I mean, fairly interesting places for hauntings.
Yeah.
And somewhat common as well. So thank you for sharing that experience with us. Ryan writes in, "Hey, I'm a new listener, but a quick background about myself. I'm evidently sensitive to the supernatural. I can feel things sometimes, but not too often. And whether they're bad or not, I cannot tell. I cannot see anything directly, only out of the corner of my eye type, which sometimes can be explained. My first of many stories begins back in 2008. I was in the Navy station on the USS Kitty Hawk, which at the time was ported in Washington. Originally, we were based in Japan, but due to the ship being commissioned since 1961, yes, it's active, it was time for the decommissioning process. But those many stories I'll leave for later. So 2008, me and a group of friends decided to go and have some fun in a neighboring town called Port Orchard. We visited 2 bars or so. We ended up at one where I met a girl sitting and drinking by herself. Let's call her Ashley. Her true name escapes me. I introduced myself and we hit it off pretty well. Ashley told me she was an independent person and liked adventures. Not sure what she was poking at, but I stated the same, which is true. But she then asked if I wanted to hang out for a while. Sure, I said. Sounds like fun. Ashley stated that she wanted to show me some spots that she liked to get lost. And of course, me being me, I was in. I caught sort of a weird vibe from Ashley. She was really open to a lot of different things, which was good, but some of the places we visited, I would never just sit alone in. First few places we visited didn't bother me so much, but the last place before she dropped me off at the barracks actually did. Oddly enough, I wasn't disturbed at the time, though. Only after the incident and really absorbing what happened, I became more concerned. Maybe the wrong word about it. Anyway, the last place was a graveyard just outside of the town. I can't remember the name of it, but I remember a hilly landscape, spaced out headstones. It was about 3 or 4 a.m. at the time, and she backed her car into the spot near an open area of the cemetery. I remember being a little creeped out, but I opened up to her about my paranormal experiences while we were there. Why not, right? So after some time, we exchanged our stories about experiences, and out of nowhere, without a soul in sight, the rear end of the car dipped into the ground as if an adult put all their weight on the trunk and let off quickly. I immediately looked into all the mirrors, and even with the moonlit land, absolutely nothing was in sight. This is the point I mentioned that for whatever reason, that I wasn't scared. But after I checked all the mirrors, Ashley said, "They don't want us here." Nerves, goosebumps initiated when she said that. Needless to say, we left the area. I never spoke to her again. I don't recall why, but I suppose the fact that I was leaving for my next station soon had something to do with it. As much as I'm sensitive to these entities, I think she is a bigger conveyor of the paranormal.
That's nothing like the sensitive person in the group saying they don't want us here.
Yeah, that's kind of the sign to like, okay, we should probably go now. Mm-hmm. When that happens, that's the signal of move on with the ghost tour.
Yeah.
Whether it be a commission tour or something like that. Mm-hmm. So creepy story and creepy experience. Thank you for sharing that with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help us stay on the air, become an EPP extra podcast person, sign up on our website at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month. Or you can do a full year and claim one of those bunk bed bells. Get 1 month free as well. Check that out at ghostpodcast.com. Help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.